We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's overnight Minnesota on a Wednesday morning, 1:32 in the Central Time Zone, 60 degrees outside. Eric with you. Thanks for tuning us in. We are on the airwaves until 4 a.m. Well, our next guest is Deontay Jelks. He used to live in Chicago and then moved to scenic Vancouver Island, B.C. He comes to you on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline, and I found out about Deontay reading the Chicago Sun-Times on Monday. And Deontay, thanks so much for your time, and I thought your story was fascinating. And first and foremost, let me offer my condolences to you because you lost a brother and a cousin in late May. It was part of the most violent weekend in 60 years in Chicago. The carnage was 18 killings in 24 hours. And in the Sun-Times article, you said, whenever I get a call from Chicago, it's never good news.
Yeah, it's, unfortunately, my life has to be that way. Just receiving a phone call from Chicago anytime, the news is never good. I lost my breath when I received those two phone calls in a row from my younger sister, then a phone call from my mom right after that. I knew the news that I was going to receive will not be good.
Yeah, tough situation. Explain the reason why you came to the decision a few years ago. You know what, I've had enough of Chicago. I've had enough of the U.S., which compared to Canada is very violent. The decision to leave the U.S. for Canada, what was the tipping point?
Well, living in Chicago for so long, living in the U.S., a lot of people are desensitized to the violence that's going on, specifically in the city. My wife was from Canada, and she lived with me in Chicago for 5 years, but after we got married and when we had our first child, we just saw that this is not a place that we want to raise our kids. It's violent, it's drugs, it's constant carnage. And, I wanted to break the cycle and not have my kid to live a normal life. And so out of nowhere, we just left. We had very good jobs. We bought our first home, had a car. We had the American dream. But the American dream was not going to be a good dream that we were willing to risk our kids' lives for.
As we all know, the George Floyd tragedy and, of course, the epicenter right here in Minneapolis, it went global. What's it been like in Canada to watch from afar? What's been the reaction in Canada, specifically Vancouver, where you are, about George Floyd?
It's been resonating in the black community as well as the Aboriginal communities. George Floyd's murder was the straw that broke the camel's back. For so long, people have been, victims of police brutality, victims of systemic racism. And, you get to a point in your life where you're tired and tired of not hearing your voice heard. And so people weren't hearing the voices of the people, and now they're hearing the lion's roar now.
Yeah, for sure. And I know that, race relations in Canada are much better than in the U.S., but in some of the articles I read last week in Toronto and Winnipeg and some of the other cities in Canada, this is forcing Canada also to look at its own way that it deals with people of color and, as you said, some of the native people.
Yeah, in general, when you're comparing Canada to the U.S., Canadian racism is very subtle. In the U.S., it's out. It's very overt. It's out there. It's out there for the world to see. What I feel like as a black man that lived in the United States, that's what an Aboriginal person feels like living in Canada. But, you know, Canada did take the first step, you know, with truth and reconciliation. In Canada, I acknowledge its faults with the system of systemic racism towards Indigenous people. But the U.S. has failed to even recognize its faults. You know, America has a lot of blood on its hands. And until the U.S. government, until people recognize the faults and the systemic racism in the United States, I don't think we'll ever get justice. I don't think, you know, that there's anything is going to happen. You know, it needs to start with truth and reconciliation. You know, we need to understand what's going on and acknowledge what happened.
Deontay Jelks, our guest here on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus Hotline, grew up in Chicago, now lives on Vancouver Island up there in British Columbia, and we're talking about the George Floyd situation and race relations in the U.S. and Canada. And as you know, Deontay, really for centuries, police relations with African Americans in this country have been strained at best, and I think the George Floyd tragedy just shined a bright light on it, and maybe we're going to see some change finally. But in the article in the Sun-Times, you talked about how you were driving your car in Canada, and you hit a roadblock that was set up by police. And why don't you fill in the blanks? Because your reaction, I thought, was very telling as to how different it is to be black in Canada than, say, in the U.S.
Yeah, I was driving from work. I was working a midnight shift, and I was driving back from work. There was a roadblock on the highway. I was probably about three cars behind. I took my wallet out, put it on the dashboard, turned off my car, put my keys on the dashboard, and I stuck my hands out the window. And then a constable, she walked to the car, and she gave me this weird look like, what are you doing? I'm like, this is what you do. She's like, no, you don't need to do that here. We're just making sure you're safe, everybody's good, and you know, you can be on your way. And I was completely shocked at my interaction with the police. It's never gone that way.
What was that like? Because I know last week we had Warren Moon on, the Hall of Famer, who had a great career with Edmonton, winning five Grey Cups for the Eskimos. And he said he never felt racism in Edmonton, Alberta. What was that like for you? Was that almost like an epiphany that, hey, there are places where I'm judged on who I am and not the color of my skin?
It was a big relief off my shoulders, but it did take me over 7 years to not fear when headlights are behind me. And it took a lot. You know, it take my next door neighbor, she's a RCMP officer when we first moved to Canada, and we had tea every day and to talk and discuss, you know, just life in general. And I think if, you know, police officers in the U.S. took more time to know their community, invest in their community, we wouldn't see all these injustices going on. We won't see police brutality. But again, it's different here as far as interacting with RCMP officers as compared to police officers in the U.S.
You know, one thing that always strikes me when I visit Canada, I was in Vancouver in December, and I got in on a late flight on a Saturday night. I took the train to downtown, and I'm literally walking the streets of downtown Vancouver at about 11 o'clock in the evening. And it dawned on me, I said, you know, the odds of me getting shot here are almost slim and none. Where if I'm in the U.S., in any major city in the U.S., you never know because this is such a gun-centric country. But it has to also be, for you, a guy who grew up in Chicago, and the shootings are daily. It's such carnage down there. It has to be a huge change.
It's a big change. And I this past Christmas, I brought my mom to Canada to spend a week because my nephew passed away in October. And my mom just needs to get away from Chicago. So we're sitting on the couch talking, and she looked at me. She had this look of bewilderment on her face, and she said, I haven't heard any police officers in 4 or 5 days. And I looked at her and smiled. It's like, you're not. You know, you just don't see police officers. When you do, it's friendly, they're interacting, they're waving, but it's not to arrest anybody, it's not to harass anybody. And just like you said, you know, I feel safe walking my streets. I feel safe when my kids go out and play. I don't worry about them. you know, I just worry about like a bear probably coming out of the woods or a wild animal. Other than that, you know, I feel totally comfortable and safe here.
It feels like here in the U.S., Deontay, that the winds of change are finally blowing for good, and we may see police reform. I mean, time will tell. I'm hopeful that's going to happen. As a guy who was in Chicago, you're now in Vancouver, and you've seen it on both sides of the border, U.S. and Canada. What do you want to see happen in the U.S. in terms of police relations? Do you want it to go as far as defunding? Do you want to have reform? How do you think it should go?
Well, I think when you look, when you say defunding, I think people are taking the word defunding out of context. I think they should use a different word, like reform, instead of defunding. I would like, you know, the police officers to be actually invested in a community. We don't need officers switching from one precinct to another. Spend time in your community. You know, attend family barbecues, attend weddings, you know, attend celebration ceremonies. But we need someone that's going to be invested in the community and invested for the community. Other than that, no matter what you do, it's not going to work. I, you know, as a kid, I remember, you know, I could have been George Floyd. I was a senior in high school, and I was taking applications to drop off at the mall box for university. All of a sudden, six police officers brandished a gun on me, pointed right in my face, and told me to take my hands out of my pocket. And I know if my uncle didn't give me the talk when I was like 8 or 9, I would have been on that pavement, you know, with a gunshot wounds to my body. But I just, you know, I just remember those teachings of my uncle, kept my hands in my pocket, didn't move, and I'm here to tell about it.
Before I let you go, I've always felt like we need much stricter gun laws here in the U.S. I mean, we have mass shootings on an average every 2 weeks. It's slowed down because of the pandemic. But basically, the carnage here, you know, there's 100 deaths a day in the U.S. because of gun violence. It's much different in Canada. It's a lot harder to get a gun. I know they had a rare mass shooting there a few weeks ago in Nova Scotia. And quickly, the prime minister said, that's it. No more AK-47s. They're gone. Do you think it would be good for the U.S. to implement some of the Canadian gun laws?
I think so. You know, here in Canada, guns are respected. We know that guns are for hunting and to feed your family. There's no such thing as, you know, owning an AK-47 or AR-15. That's completely out of the question. And I think there definitely needs to be action taken towards gun reform. That's the only way that we're going to curb the violence that's plaguing our cities.
All right, Deontay, we appreciate you staying up late and talking to us tonight here on CCO, and it was fascinating to hear your story. Again, my condolences on losing a brother and a cousin on one of the deadliest weekends in the history of the city of Chicago, but we're hoping that the George Floyd situation leads to change here in the U.S.
I hope so, and again, thank you for providing me with the platform to tell my story. Thank you.
All right, very good. He's Deontay Jelks, a move from Chicago to Vancouver, B.C. Great article in the Chicago Sun-Times the other day about his story. He came to you on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.